Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Coleman, do you eat much bologna?
Yes.
When I was a kid, I used to love bologna, and then I went years, I'd even say decades, without eating bologna. When the coronavirus pandemic started and all the restaurants started shutting down, at least in the beginning of coronavirus, when so many places started shutting down and I was having to get more groceries than I usually get, I started getting bologna again when I had to eat more at home because of coronavirus. And I'm a fan. Again, I don't much like hot dogs, which I've always loved and always eaten. I don't want to see how they're made, much like sausage.
Did that bother you?
I don't want to see how they're made. I don't want to know exactly what's inside of them, but they taste very good. And I think bologna I would put right there with the hot dogs and the sausages when it comes to tasting good, but I don't want to know what's in it. I don't want to see videos on YouTube about people making bologna. I don't want to see any of that.
Funny story right quick. At my night job, we had a coworker from Africa. I forget what actual country, but he was surprised at some of the products that we eat and how and why. So he kept showing everybody at my job YouTube videos about how, you know, hot dogs were made, how sausages were made, and he would show us the videos, and it bothered him that the way that the products were made never bothered us. He'll show us the videos like, look at this. Look, you eat this. And I'm looking like, yes, I definitely eat it. But look how it's made. Look how it's made. You still eat? I say, yes, of course. It tastes great. I don't care. You can show me how it's made. You can show me what it comes from. And it wouldn't bother me. As long as it tastes great, I don't care.
And he's from Africa saying that?
Yeah.
I mean, because they eat some stuff over there that I don't know that we eat.
But it's all organic and not processed and all that.
But I think he's right. That's why I don't want to see that stuff made, because I'm sure the way it's made, what's put in it, I'm sure I would probably freak out and not really want to eat it anymore, even though it tastes so good.
I suck the brains out of crawfish. I take an animal, I crack it in half, and I suck the brains out of one side and eat the tail out the other side. It doesn't bother me.
But when I'm eating bologna, and it's weird because, I mean, I love eating sandwiches. I eat a lot of deli sandwiches at home because that's easy for someone like me to go to Rouse's supermarket and buy some turkey breast, buy some ham, buy some cheese. With bologna, I like American cheese. But with other sandwiches, I like provolone cheese. I like Swiss cheese. But I'm not a big fan. Anyways, I like bologna. I told you that because of this story I'm about to tell you. Border Patrol agents confiscate nearly 200 pounds of bologna found in car at New Mexico border. Now, we've heard of all kinds of things being smuggled into our country before. Drugs, people, children, dwarves, little people. We've heard of a lot of things getting illegally smuggled into our country before, but I've never heard of illegal bologna being smuggled across the border. Nearly 200 pounds of illegal Mexican bologna was confiscated by United States Customs and Border Protection agents at the New Mexico-Mexico border. Agents with the Office of Field Operations Agricultural Specialists found 22 rolls of bologna, it's 194 pounds, in the truck of a Nissan Rogue at the Columbus, New Mexico port of entry and fined the driver of that Nissan Rogue, a 49-year-old man from Albuquerque, New Mexico, fined him $500.
Cha-ching!
Some of the bologna was also found in his luggage. Mexican bologna is prohibited in the United States. Did you know that, Colby?
I did not know that.
It's prohibited because it could introduce foreign animal diseases into the United States pork industry. That 194 pounds of bologna was destroyed.
No!
Quote, it is important that travelers understand they should declare all items they are not or they are transporting from abroad to avoid fines and penalties. A properly declared prohibited item can be abandoned at the port without consequence. So it would have saved that guy $500. $500, that's a lot of bologna. It's a big fine for trying to get some illegal bologna into this country. You know, 2 years ago, in 2019, Border Patrol agents also seized 154 pounds of bologna at the Texas-Mexico border that had been hidden behind the seat of a driver's truck. So this is nothing new. We've got some bologna smugglers.
This text said that story sounds like it's full of bologna.
It's not, Texter. I appreciate it. You know, I wish it was, but this is another sad state of affairs at the Mexico-America border.
So now I want to know what's okay to bring into the country and what isn't, because I know people that bring cigars from Cuba, from Cuba.
You're not supposed to do that.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that either. So you're not supposed to bring rum back from Jamaica. You're not supposed to.
I used to know some guys that would go out, we'd have a good time, we'd go party, we'd barbecue on a weekend. And there was a couple of guys that I knew, and they'd be smoking Cuban cigars. And then they would be looking at each other, giving high fives, like, look at us. These are the best cigars on the planet. Nobody else in this country is smoking these cigars. And I'm like, so you're acknowledging that you're enjoying your Cuban cigars, but you're breaking the law, too. And they said, oh, yeah, we know we're breaking the law.
That's crazy.
And now you've brought illegal contraband onto my property? Into my backyard, you brought these illegal Cuban cigars?
So when you think about the export-import business, it makes me wonder what things can large companies bring into other countries as ingredients for food, ingredients for pizza, but what's cool and what isn't? Because I know everything we consume here in America doesn't come from America. It comes from somewhere.
Well, much of it, when you say consume, but many of the products that we consume here in America that we buy, it comes from communist China.
Mm. We should rethink that after the last incident a few years ago about bringing stuff from China.
But I just saw this story, and I thought about my love for American bologna and the fact that I don't even want to know what's in it. I don't want to see how it's made. I just want to keep enjoying it when I eat it.
Speaking of which, this text says, crawfish heads are awesome. So, yeah, so is turkey necks, crab paws, all that.
But if bologna is made in a rough way here in the United States where I don't even want to watch videos of it, I don't want to see it, my God, imagine how they're making bologna in Mexico. imagine this Mexican bologna.
I wonder how it's pronounced in Mexico. El Bologna? That's crazy.
Well, it's not allowed in our country because it could bring disease into our country and it could infect our pork industry. So be careful. And if you're ever out there and if you ever hear somebody's got Mexican bologna, Somebody says, "Hey man, I got this really cool bologna from Mexico." You better be careful and say, "I'll stick with the Oscar Mayer."
Or, but if you bring back tequila from Mexico, hey, I might have to take a shot.
That's a different story. Yeah, the Mexican tequila, that is a product that is not illegal to bring into the United States, because many, many, many Americans enjoy drinking the Mexican tequila.
Tequila.
A little bit different than the Mexican bologna. All right. Coming up on the show, there's more news on the Gorilla Glue girl from St. Bernard Parish, who has become internationally famous for putting a bunch of Gorilla Glue in her hair, and her hair was stuck in the same ponytail for a month until a big-time Beverly Hills plastic surgeon decided to operate on her, which he did. And he did that for free, by the way. He did that pro bono. We'll give you the latest on her. And did you hear about the Louisiana man who started Gorilla Glue Challenge and he ended up in the hospital? We'll tell you what he glued to his face, and he had to go to the hospital because the Gorilla Glue girl has people looking at her saying, "I could be a Gorilla Glue person too. I could glue something to my body, and I could get over 200 million views on a video." Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Did you see what happened yesterday morning after our show ended here in New Orleans at University Medical Center, the hospital on Canal Street? By the way, that's our newest hospital in this city, and they do a great job over there. The trauma unit, it's now like the biggest and the best in the South, which we could have always used, because here in New Orleans, people get shot every day, and having that hospital there over the last few years, It's really a great hospital. Did you see what happened there yesterday in the morning, just before 11:30, right outside the emergency room? A woman and a man got into an argument. The woman pulled a gun on the man, shot at him a few times, missed him, but hit a couple of people, one of them in the emergency room. One person was already in the emergency room waiting to get medical treatment, And while waiting in the emergency room, this person was shot. And then a second person was shot right outside the emergency room. You know, the emergency room is where people go to get saved, to get fixed up. Here you had two people at University Medical Center's emergency room on Canal Street here in New Orleans. One of them in the emergency room, the lobby there, and the other just outside when they were shot. Two people were wounded in that shooting after an argument on the emergency room on-ramp escalated to violence. According to the superintendent of the New Orleans Police Department, Sean Ferguson, a man and woman were having an argument on the on-ramp yesterday morning, almost 11:30, when the woman pulled out a gun and fired several shots at the man. I mean, she didn't hit the man. I mean, she's arguing with him. There are two people standing right next to each other, arguing with each other outside the emergency room at the hospital. They're standing on the on-ramp where the ambulance flies up to then get in front of the doors, the emergency room, to get people out. According to New Orleans police, she missed her target, who she was arguing with. And she hit a 55-year-old man inside the emergency room lobby and a 55-year-old woman just outside of the emergency room lobby. The good news, one of them got shot in the shoulder, the other got shot in the hip. They're wounded, but they're not life-threatening injuries. Luckily, New Orleans police arrested the shooter. They took the man she was attempting to shoot into custody as well, just to talk to him, to find out, why is this woman shooting at you? You were just talking. You were having a discussion, which turned into an argument. And the next thing you know, she's shooting at you. Again, they didn't arrest him. They just brought him in only for questioning. University Medical Center, I have a friend, you know Wendy Coleman, mm-hmm. She's a nurse. She works in that hospital, and she was there yesterday working when that happened, and that hospital got put on a lockdown for about an hour. And when the original call came into the New Orleans Police Department,
we have a shooting, multiple people shot, the emergency room.
911, what's your emergency?
Two people were shot in the emergency room at University Medical Center on Canal Street.
So the cops showed up there, and they thought they were going to have an active shooter situation. But when they got there, they soon realized that there wasn't an active shooter. It's just one woman arguing with a man right outside of the emergency room, and the argument got heated. She pulled out a gun and opened fire on this man. This is New Orleans. This may be the only city in America, the only place on the planet where two people get shot. One of them's in the emergency room lobby in the hospital, and the other's right outside the door of the emergency room.
Was this a lover's quarrel? Were these two people in the argument related some sort of way, shape, or form?
Coleman, when people get shot, I've said it before, and I'm not the only one who said it, but I say it on this show all the time. When people get shot, it's usually over one of two reasons: money or love. Well, usually when guys are doing the shooting, I always say money or a woman. But in this case, this woman who did the shooting, not happy with the man who she was shooting at, right outside the emergency room. And so to answer your question, Coleman, I don't know exactly, but they say it was a domestic argument, a domestic dispute.
All right, so they
dispute.
Were a couple.
So I think they were, they may have been, they may have done sex with each other in their lives. They may have been a couple.
Yeah, it's a sad reflection of the relationship if the female has to carry a gun around, even at the hospital, because of a relationship.
Well, slow down there. Slow down.
Okay.
A woman here in New Orleans, I'm all for women carrying handguns.
Sure.
Legally in their pocketbooks, in their purses. I mean, this is New Orleans. I think most people should exercise their Second Amendment right. I mean, because there's a lot of people who are running around the streets of New Orleans illegally carrying guns. So if we are legally allowed, we're not felons and we're exercising our Second Amendment right, I'm all for people legally carrying guns here in the city of New Orleans. This is the wild bleeping west, this city. This is one of the few places on planet Earth where people get shot every day. Every day! And yesterday, a couple of the people that were shot in this city were shot by mistake in the emergency room at the hospital at University Medical Center. I don't think we've ever seen this before.
I don't think I have either.
But if you're going to get shot, there's not a better place in the city of New Orleans to get shot than in the lobby of the emergency room at University Medical Center or just outside the lobby of the emergency room at the University Medical Center here in New Orleans. In my opinion, if I'm going to get shot in the city, that's where I want to be.
Please remember, John Osterlin is not a medical doctor.
I am not. But I can't think of a better place to get shot in New Orleans than in the emergency room at University Medical Center or the next best place just outside of the emergency room. That's where these two people were shot yesterday morning after our show.
Yeah, I would tell the chick after I come out of police custody, I think we should see other people.
All right. Coming up on the show. Today is Friday.
Yeah.
Before Mardi Gras Tuesday. This weekend right here, the one that's started. Some people started it yesterday and some people started it 2 days ago. This usually every year in New Orleans is the biggest money-making weekend for New Orleans businesses, for bars, for restaurants, because this is Mardi Gras weekend. Here we are. And that's not going to be happening this year. The city has been shut down, all the bars. And that totally sucks. And coming up, the latest, I'm trying to acquire, lock down a bus to pick people up from Bourbon Street and Canal Street here in New Orleans on Mardi Gras Day, on Tuesday, to get them out of New Orleans to go party for Mardi Gras. Drive over to Metairie, drive a couple of miles in the bus. The latest on that, we have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So Sunday, we're 2 days away from Valentine's Day. It's named after Saint Valentine, the patron saint of sexual extortion. Are you ready for Valentine's Day this Sunday? Anyways, good luck. And that should be a great day for most couples. And I hope it is for you and yours as well. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And Louisiana native Britney Spears from Kentwood, she was in the news again yesterday. It's because her father, who is the co-conservatorship of her multi-millions of dollars,
Cha-ching.
And she doesn't want that, by the way. Britney Spears is 39 years old now, and her father, along with another trust company, they handle all of her money because they had it years ago. They had to take that money out of Britney's control because she was losing her mind. You know, years ago when it was happening, people said, well, she's nuts. She's crazy. But here in the year 2021, you can't talk about mental illness that way. I mean, she's obviously mentally ill. I mean, Britney Spears is mentally ill. There's no doubt about that. But she does not want her father to be in control of her money anymore. I mean, she's the one who's made millions and millions and millions of dollars, yet at 39 years old, she still has to say, Daddy, I need a few bucks for this. Daddy, I need a couple of million for this. Daddy, I need. I mean, that's pretty embarrassing. Well, yesterday, a judge has ruled to keep her father along with Bessemer Trust Company as the co-conservators over Britney Spears' money, Britney Spears' estate. The Bessemer Trust Company was established as a co-conservator just a few months ago in November because Britney does not want her father in charge anymore. So now they got this trust company who is joining her father as the co-conservator over his estate, over her estate. The reason why they were in court yesterday is because her father, Jamie Spears, objected to sharing the conservatorship duties with Bessemer Trust Company. So he took the whole thing into court yesterday saying, look, I've been in charge of my 39-year-old daughter's multi-millions of dollars. I think since she shaved her head that time. And I don't want to share this responsibility with anybody. I'm the father, and I'm the one who has my 39-year-old multimillionaire's daughter's best interest. But Britney didn't want that, and that's why 3 months ago in November, she installed Bessemer Trust Company as a co-conservator. Well, yesterday, her father was in court saying, no, I should be the only conservator, but the judge ruled to keep Bessemer Trust Company as co-conservator over Britney Spears' estate.
So basically, Britney Spears still does not have control over her own money. Now she just has two people, a company and her father, control. So she, okay, I guess if she wants it that way.
She doesn't want it that way.
No, I mean, I don't think, clearly she doesn't want to be in charge of her own money. If she's hiring a trust to be conservator with her father, that means she still doesn't trust herself with her own money.
See, I thought about that too. If she's not happy that her father is in control of all of her money, her vast amount of wealth, why wouldn't she try to get that control back instead of hiring an outside trust company?
Well, I guess she's trying to be financially responsible, and she doesn't trust herself to handle her own money. So she does want another party to help her out with her financial issues. She just doesn't want her father to do it. But based on the father's track record, I don't think he's doing a bad job. It's not like he's out there doing frivolous stuff. You're not hearing about him in the news buying yachts and mansions. It seems to me that even though I disagree that anybody else should be in charge of somebody else's money, the track record shows that Britney's father seems to be financially responsible.
Yeah, you haven't read any stories about him doing anything crazy with spending of our money. Yet she, even though she doesn't work much these days, and I think the last time she worked regularly, she was doing a show in Las Vegas. She set up a residency in Las Vegas, and she was doing a show out there for a while at the MGM Grand, I think. But I mean, she's 39 now, and she's living in a massive mansion outside of Los Angeles. You know, she's moved from one very large house to another a couple of times in the last few years. You know, we did a story on the show not long ago about how the house she grew up with in Kentwood, it was for sale. I don't know if it ever sold.
Now, speaking of which, this text from Harley J says, when you go into Britney Spears' hometown of Kentwood, Louisiana, from the north, south, east, or west, there are no signs anywhere to be found saying this is the hometown of Britney Spears.
Really?
Really. I guess Kentwood doesn't want to claim her.
Well, why wouldn't they? I know she had some mental illness issues, but did she do anything really that bad? I mean, when she first hit the scene, she was immense at a very young age. I mean, pretty much everybody, every music fan in the world knew who she was. And even people that weren't that much into music, even sick guys that liked underage girls in schoolgirl uniforms knew who she was when she came out.
Well, I guess the residents of Kentwood are probably like those contestants on Jeopardy that didn't know who Dave Chappelle was. They probably really don't know who Britney Spears is, even though Britney Spears comes from Kentwood.
You know, thank you for that text. I'm going to ask the question, if you're listening right now, should there be a couple of signs around Kentwood? Around the border of the town of Kentwood, Louisiana, that say, welcome to Kentwood, the hometown of pop icon Britney Spears. I mean, is she an icon? Did her mental illness issues strip that from her? I think there should definitely be a sign or two around the border of Kentwood, Louisiana, that says, welcome to Kentwood, the hometown of pop icon Britney Spears. I don't think you need one on the other side of the border that says, you know, turn that sign around. You are now leaving Kentwood, Louisiana, the hometown of pop icon Britney Spears. I don't think we need that. But shouldn't there be a couple of signs on the border of Kentwood, Louisiana, so when people are driving in, that they pay tribute to their most famous native? She has to be their most famous native, right? Text us. I think there should be. Tell me I'm wrong. If and tell me why I'm wrong if I am wrong. Text us at 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. Keep the text short and good, and if it is, we'll read it coming up on the show. But the news out of Britney Spears' camp yesterday, she still doesn't control her millions and millions and millions of dollars. And a judge okayed this Bessemer Trust Company, who she put in there back in November, to be a co-conservative ship with her father, because she doesn't want her father doing it anymore, even though I think he's done a good job. That was the news yesterday out of that sad court of law here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So the biggest story that we talked about on the show this week, the biggest local story, also happened to be one of the biggest national and international stories. One of the biggest stories in the world this week, when the local woman, Tessica Brown, from St. Bernard Parish here, when she went viral because She made a video on her TikTok page saying that she put Gorilla Glue in her hair and her hair's been stuck in the same ponytail for a month. And she couldn't get it out. It got so bad that she had to go to the hospital in St. Bernard Parish. And she was in there and they couldn't do much for her. And then we talked about it on the show. She is now the Gorilla Glue girl. By the way, she called herself that. Tessica did. She called herself the Gorilla Glue girl. And when we talked about it on the show this week, we knew she didn't do it. Well, we didn't know if she did it by mistake or if she did it on purpose, because there's a product called Gorilla Snot. And some women use that in their hair to keep their hair the way they want it. Now, Coleman, you said that Tessica said that she thought she was using Gorilla Snot, but instead she used Gorilla Glue.
That's one of the texters texting that said she admitted it on one of her videos. She thought she was using Gorilla Snot instead of Gorilla Glue in her hair. And if you look at the labels, if you Google the image, the Gorilla Snot bottle looks very similar to the Gorilla Glue bottle. So if she ordered it online and she just clicked the bottle, I could see where the mistake would have been made, that she thought she ordered Gorilla Snot, but ended up getting Gorilla Glue in the mail instead.
So she made the mistake of using the wrong product.
Yes, of course she made the mistake.
But, well, after this story went huge because her TikTok video got over 20 million views. Because people around the world couldn't believe that this woman put a bunch of Gorilla Glue in her hair by mistake. So when the story went huge, she got a lawyer. Now, I don't know if the lawyer got her or she got the lawyer. But she got a lawyer. I think the lawyer probably contacted her. And they may be suing Gorilla Glue because maybe it looks too much like Gorilla Snot and it doesn't say on the outside of the Gorilla Glue bottle, do not put this in your hair. But she also had a surgeon, a plastic surgeon, a very rich plastic surgeon out in Beverly Hills, California, who said that he would take care of her problem through surgical procedures for free. He would do it pro bono. And evidently that's happened, or it's just about finished happening, because I think she had to go in for a couple of different procedures, two or three different procedures. Now, it was nice of that doctor to do that for Tessica Brown, the Gorilla Glue girl from St. Bernard Parish. But I was just reading about this doctor, this surgeon, because I wanted to know a little bit about him. He's from Ghana. And he went to Harvard Medical School, graduated from there, and he's now not only a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, California, he is a celebrity plastic surgeon. So he's got some famous clients, people that he does plastic surgery on. He's 47 years old. His name is Dr. Michael Obeng. And he actually co-starred on the E! Network's television reality series, Second Wives Club, with his wife back in 2017. He has a net worth of over $8 million, according to Black Enterprise. And so evidently he saw this story. And he said, let me help this woman out. So that's who he is.
You know, I was reading about the procedure and what he did. You know what's funny? And a lot of my friends pointed this out. What the doctor, the Beverly Hills surgeon actually did for her is exactly what the St. Bernard doctors told her to do when she got home. The doctors at St. Bernard Parish couldn't do it, but they gave her certain instructions. You should try this, put some acetone in your hair, maybe some adhesive to get it out your hair. And I guess she felt like it wasn't enough, or she tried it and it didn't work. Well, when she got to Beverly Hills, the doctor in Beverly Hills, the surgeon that she saw, pretty much did exactly what the St. Bernard doctors told her to do. So he got off easy.
Yeah, but he's a multimillionaire Harvard Medical School graduate celebrity plastic surgeon. If she has to be scalped, if this Gorilla Glue has to be scalped out of her head, wouldn't you rather have him do it?
Of course.
Her sitting on her couch.
Of course.
Doing it.
But the irony is because she was considering suing St. Bernard Parish Hospital for not doing enough to help her. But
well, her lawyer, they said they could be suing not only the company that makes Gorilla Glue, but the hospital there in St. Bernard Parish. Well, now, in an unrelated story that's kind of related, it's like a cousin or a distant cousin story, Louisiana man starts Gorilla Glue Challenge, and he ended up in the hospital. A Louisiana man who was suspicious of recent reports about the woman who put Gorilla Glue in her hair reportedly ended up in a hospital after gluing a Solo cup to his lip. Len Martin is this brainiac's name. And he went on his social media to explain that he was in a hospital and doctors were talking about, quote, cutting the tips of my lips off in surgery, unquote. And then he said, y'all pray for me.
So, in other words, he was skeptical about the whole Gorilla Glue phenomenon. He thought it was a get-rich-quick scheme. He thought it was a scam. So he decided to experiment for himself to prove that this Gorilla Glue thing was all just a sham and ended up getting the soda cup stuck to his lip.
Well, Coleman, all this says is that he was suspicious of the reports. And her TikTok video, by the way, that went viral, it's now been seen over 24 million times. She also... I don't know if she set up the GoFundMe account or if somebody else set up the GoFundMe account for Gorilla Glue Girl, Tessica Brown of St. Bernard Parish. But that has over $20,000 in it now.
To buy wigs and weave. Wow.
Well, she shaved all that hair off her head, but she still had to get her head scalped. Which is what she did. So those are the cup that this guy put on his glued to his lip. It's one of the red plastic cups that you usually see at keg parties.
Mm-hmm. Solo cups. I know exactly what they are.
A solo cup. So he took glue, and I've got the video here. I may put this on our station's website, bayou957.com. I don't know if I'm going to, though. I mean, it's fairly entertaining, but I don't know if this is a good trend to start. Anyways,
you mean to tell me if we put the video on our website, the people who go to our website would try it out if they see the video on our website?
No, I'm not saying that, but I don't know. Should we give these people more notoriety and more credibility? By putting, because I'm telling you right now, I think the Gorilla Glue Girl from DeParish, Tessica Brown, I think she's made at least over $20,000 from this, and she got free surgery from a very qualified celebrity plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. And who knows? If her lawyers do decide to sue the company that makes Gorilla Glue, because it doesn't say on the outside of the Gorilla Glue bottle, do not put this in your hair, or if they do that, they're going to, don't put it in your eyes or in your nostrils or in your mouth or in your ears either. You know, don't put this anywhere on your body. Don't put it on your skin. Don't put it on your tongue. It's Gorilla Glue. It's an extremely, extremely strong adhesive.
I wonder if Gorilla Glue got a boost in sales ever since this story came out. Sort of like the Twisted Tea did whenever they had that video of the guy getting hit by that Twisted Tea can, and all of a sudden Twisted Tea bottles, it just soared. So I wonder if people are just buying Gorilla Glue just because, so they can make their own stupid videos or take pictures with Gorilla Glue.
Well, the old cliche is there's no such thing as bad publicity. And so I'm sure, Crazy Glue is another type of very strong adhesive. I mean, I think a lot of us know Elmer's glue from school, but this Gorilla Glue stuff, it's closer to Crazy Glue. This Gorilla Glue stuff, you don't mess with this. And so now we've already had someone react to her video that went viral and her act of putting Gorilla Glue in her hair by mistake. This guy, there was no mistake. He's rolling video, and he's sitting at a table, and he's putting the glue on the red plastic cup that you see at keg parties. And now he glued that to his lip, and he had to go to the doctor because he can't get it off. And he said that doctors have already tried a very painful peeling. And then he finished by saying, this is not a challenge you want to try.
You know how popular this story is. We've literally talked about the story nationwide ever since it got released. She's been in the news every single day ever since she did that TikTok video. She's been in national news every single day.
This was the story that was the dumbest thing I read all morning in that segment that we do every morning on the show at around 8:35, 8:40. We did that on Monday.
And we gave an update Tuesday. We gave an update Wednesday.
Because the story kept getting bigger and bigger right. And bigger all week long. And this is where we're at now with the story. I just gave you all the latest details that you need to know when it comes to Gorilla Glue Girl. And Coleman, by the way, he's gone onto her Facebook page. He applied to be her Facebook friend. He sent her a friend request. He'd ask her out, too. Because she doesn't look 40 years old.
No, she doesn't.
She looks a lot younger than that. Even bald. Gorilla Glue Girl looks very young.
Yeah, just for the record, intelligence aside, she is one attractive woman.
She is attractive. But I think from now on, she'll always be the Gorilla Glue Girl. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. So Valentine's Day is this Sunday, and... You know, obviously, women, I think, dig Valentine's Day more than men, but men got to do what they got to do, right? As I mentioned earlier in the show, I think St. Valentine was the official saint of sexual extortion. But when I think of Valentine's Day, I also think of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. That happened way back when Al Capone was running a big chunk of the Chicago mob. And he wasn't happy with Bugs Moran and his crew. And so Al Capone set up Bugs Moran crew to show up at a building in Chicago. And actually, Al Capone's crew were dressed in police officer uniforms. And so they had Bugs Moran's crew show up at the building, and then the Capone's crew came in dressed in police uniforms, and they shot them all and they killed them. Seven of them. You know, that was way back when seven people getting shot in Chicago actually made news. Now seven people get shot in Chicago all the time.
How romantic.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Happy Valentine's Day. New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. New Orleans morning radio show. And if you're in the New Orleans area this morning, be very careful driving around out there. It got cold, and it's raining hard. It's getting colder. The roads are slippery. I know right outside our radio station here, there was an accident this morning. They said there, someone walking by said he thinks there might have been a fatality. Did you see any of the news yesterday with that 110 car accident on the highway in the state of Texas? Some people died in that too. I mean, yeah, not used to the icy roads down here. We're not used to the icy conditions, and you got to be really careful when you're driving. But if you wonder, how in God's name could 110 cars get in the same accident because of icy roads? All right, so be careful. I just saw this story, and if this was a couple of years ago, I would have said, I can't believe it. But because it's now, and all of the stories we've done about female teachers, female educators getting in trouble for doing sex with their underage male students. Now I see this story and I'm like, I still can't believe it, but it's not as shocking. This happens here in New Orleans. Transcripts show a sexual and romantic relationship between a New Orleans principal and one of her students at a school for incarcerated youth. Our friends at WWL Television here in New Orleans, Channel 4, they obtained some of the transcripts of the conversations that this teacher, or this principal, not just a teacher, this principal was having with one of her students, and she's the principal here in New Orleans at a school for the incarcerated. She was hired in 2017. Her name is Christy Sampson Kelly. She was hired to be the principal at Travis Hills School. That's New Orleans School for Incarcerated Youth. She got that job because her resume is sparkling. She's a PhD. That's a doctor, Coleman, in education. Someone who went to college for like 8 years. Not a doctor that can do surgeries like scalp a woman's gorilla glue out of her head.
All right,
not that type of a doctor, but she's a she's a doctor in education.
Ah, all right. Because when I tell women I have a PhD, I mean a pretty. Wait, what was going on?
No.
Okay.
Well, she has a PhD, Christy Sampson Kelly, and she has national acclaim in the field of special education. So that's why 4 years ago she was hired to be the principal at Travis Hills School, New Orleans School for Incarcerated Youth. But she was arrested a couple of months ago in November following a warrant accusing her of engaging in more than 700 extremely sexual and explicit phone calls with a 17-year-old student/inmate.
So she was using the incarcerated facility's phone because they keep transcripts and records of all the phone conversations. So apparently, if this guy's incarcerated and he's using the phone, everything he's saying is being recorded.
Yeah, I don't think if you're 17 years old and you're at New Orleans School for Incarcerated Youth, I don't think you're allowed to have your own cell phone and use your own cell phone.
It's not like 2.0 over there where everybody can have beers and cell phones and radios.
No, it's not like the Orleans Parish Prison. No, it's not like that. They leave a door open and back. So this principal is 49 years old. And I was reading some of these partial transcripts of the conversations that she had with her 17-year-old student/inmate. I don't know if you'd call him a student first and then an inmate, or an inmate first and then a student if he goes to New Orleans School for Incarcerated Youth. I don't know what title, what word would go first. These can be described as sexually intimate and at times romantic. In one of the transcripts I read, the inmate slash student describes an act of oral sex that he would like her to perform on him. And in that conversation, she agrees to do so. In another section, the juvenile says, quote, I want to hear your sexy voice. And the principal says, she replies by stating she wants a part of his anatomy that is too graphic for me to repeat on this radio show. I'm not talking about his foot or his hand.
I love how the report separates romantic intimacy from sexual intimacy. Like, some of these texts can be sexually suggestive. The other ones can be romantic. Like,
here's
the not
difference.
One and the same.
Here's the difference.
All right.
From what I just told you was sexual, he also said to her, this is the romantic part, quote, tell me you want to marry me. In which the principal replies, I want to marry you, unquote. The problem is, she is married, lives in Slidell. She's got four kids. She's a PhD, but this just goes to show you, I don't know if I would call this mental illness, because there are so many female teachers in their 20s and 30s, many of them very attractive, who have gotten arrested, lost their jobs for doing sex with 16, 17-year-old boys.
And most of them are married. Most of them are already married.
Yeah, many of them are.
Yeah.
Were. But here's the latest, not just a teacher here in New Orleans, a principal, a PhD, and she's the principal of the Travis Hill School here in New Orleans, the School for Incarcerated Youth. And boy, she's probably going to lose everything she's worked for all of her life because of this incident or these incidents with this student slash inmate.
Imagine being her husband, going to work, paying the bills, taking care of the kids, feeding the kids, doing everything possible to treat this woman right, and she leaves you, or she's cheating on you for an incarcerated kid in jail.
Yeah.
Or school jail.
Yeah, yeah. Really, honey? What kind of future you think you got with this kid? Although she's trying to make his future better, good, with her being the principal of the school for the incarcerated youth here in New Orleans. Coming up next. It looks like there may be a big billboard going up in the middle of New Orleans of Tom Brady, and it's just gonna have two words on it. It's gonna say "We Dat." I guess because they're tired of hearing us ask the question "Who Dat?" Stay tuned for the latest on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, and this was supposed to be the biggest weekend of the year here in New Orleans. Every year it is. It's the weekend before Mardi Gras Day, before Fat Tuesday. But as we all know, because of coronavirus, there is no Mardi Gras this year. Mardi Gras is canceled. I know some people in the suburbs are going to celebrate and have a good time, but we're not allowed to do that here in New Orleans. As of 6 o'clock this morning, the bars are shut down. But restaurants still want you to go there, still want people to go. Restaurants are still open. And the shops, the stores that are open here in the city, they still want people to go in there. I mean, they're desperately depending on people spending money there. Even though we're not going to see the tourists that we normally see, hotel capacity around the city of New Orleans is under 30% filled. Every year, this weekend, hotel capacity is usually 100%. Very close. But this year, it's right around 30%, even if it is that high. And I just feel awful for so many of the businesses here in New Orleans where this weekend, this particular weekend, tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night, Monday night, and then Tuesday, Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras Day, sure they make, it's usually their biggest business weekend every year of the year. And it stinks that's not happening. The only, I guess, little bit of good news, and I don't even know if I'd call it good news, is the weather is so bad. Because it's very cold. It's raining. The streets are starting to become icy, and they say it's only going to get worse as the weekend goes on. See, Coleman, I'm an optimist. You've known me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to see the best part of anything, even if it's a bad situation. And it's safe to say there really are no best parts of Mardi Gras being canceled because of coronavirus and what that virus has done to so many people, not just here in New Orleans and around Louisiana, but all over the United States financially, what that has done to people. But it's going to be a very rotten weekend weather-wise here. So if, hey.
This is when I say it never stopped me before in the past. I've been through some rotten Fat Tuesdays on Bourbon Street, rainy, slushy, and I still went because it's the only holiday I celebrate. Rain, sleet, snow, shine, it doesn't matter. I usually be on Bourbon Street every Fat Tuesday ever since I was 15.
Are you going to go Tuesday?
Who's to say? I just may or may not. I can't confirm nor deny my Tuesday plans.
Well, and because this coming Fat Tuesday isn't the normal Fat Tuesday that we normally have because Mardi Gras has been canceled,
mm-hmm.
we're going to do a show. We were asked, hey, are you going to take Fat Tuesday off? Because usually every Fat Tuesday we have off because Fat Tuesday is right next to Christmas here in New Orleans when it comes to the biggest holidays every year. And I haven't worked a Fat Tuesday in a while, but I said, no, we're gonna do the show on Tuesday because it's not a normal Fat Tuesday. So we'll be here doing the radio show. And so, Coleman, maybe after the show, you and I, maybe we'll get something to eat and then walk over to Bourbon Street because I know you want to see if there's going to
be... The mayor might be listening.
Well, you want to see if there's going to be any boobs.
I know I do, but the mayor...
I know there's no alcohol, there's no drinking, there's no gathering, but does that mean no boobs on Bourbon Street for Fat Tuesday?
The mayor might be listening, Josh.
I don't think so. She's out of town.
Oh, okay.
Our tax cheat of Amerla, tax at Cantrell, she flew to Washington, D.C. to go meet with, or should I say to go beg Joe Biden, the president, to go beg him for federal funds.
Phase two.
But we're still in. Yeah, she's up there asking Biden for federal funds because the city, which is always broke, even before coronavirus. But because of coronavirus, the city of New Orleans is even more broke because they're not getting their usual tax dollars. Up there begging the president for more federal funds. And did you see this? A GoFundMe was set up, and they already raised their goal. The GoFundMe, they said we want $3,500. What was that GoFundMe for? It was from Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans who want to install a billboard in the middle of New Orleans, a giant billboard with a picture of Tom Brady, and he's shrugging his shoulders, and he's wearing sunglasses, and he's wearing his Tampa Bay number 12 jersey. And it's basically he's looking like, well, what do you want from me? You know, he's got his arms up. And then it says in huge letters, "We dat." And then underneath that it says, "Brought to you by Bucks fans everywhere."
That's so petty.
Yeah, well.
In all fairness, before the season started here in New Orleans, we were talking a lot of junk because we beat them twice in the regular season. It's like, yeah, you came all the way down here to our division just to get swept.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have any difficulty with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the two games that the Saints played them and beat them bad in both of those regular season games. But it was the third time in the playoffs when the Brady Bunch came here and beat the Saints and knocked the Saints out of the playoffs. Well, this guy whose name is Samir Ali set up a GoFundMe, and he said, I'm raising money. He put this on Twitter. He said, I'm raising money for We Dat Billboard in New Orleans. Click to donate. And the goal was $3,500. They're already over that. More than 190 people have donated $3,720 for that. So over the next day or so, if a giant billboard, it's orange, Tampa Bay orange, goes up here in the middle of the city of New Orleans, it's got a picture of Tom Brady shrugging his shoulders with his arms out, and it simply says, We Dat, in giant letters.
You know what's going
to
happen.
Do you think something would happen to that?
Of course. You know what's going to happen? That day that billboard goes up, overnight, there's going to be a big Reznor spray painted across it. Across Tom Brady's face. Reznor on a big billboard.
You know, Saints fans would do something like this. I know that Saints fans have put up billboards in Atlanta after the Saints have beaten the Falcons. I know they've done that. This would be a first, though, that I can remember of any other team who beat the Saints, especially division rival, beat the Saints in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl, that they would put up a billboard in the middle of the city of New Orleans. If you're listening right now, would that billboard last unscathed more than 24 hours?
Hell no.
Or do you think people would either spray paint over it? It's not easy to take down a billboard.
You think?
That's a crime, too.
Dude, all last year they were taking down monuments. This billboard is cakewalk compared to taking down monuments and statues. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but the city did that. I can't imagine the city, people getting paid who work for the city of New Orleans, going out and doing that. If you're listening right now, text us. If that We Dat billboard goes up, they raise the money on their GoFundMe because I guess it's a two-word billboard with a picture of Tom Brady answering a question that many, many, many New Orleans Saints ask over and over and over and over again, year after year after year. Who dat? Well, this billboard would simply say, We Dat. And it's got a picture of Tom Brady shrugging his shoulders with his arms out, basically saying, well, what do you want from me? What are you looking at? What do you want? Text us. Will that billboard, because I expect it to go up any day now, will that billboard remain unscathed? And should it remain unscathed? Should we show them that, we're big fans. We're not going to deface your billboard. Or is that not cool? We should just know. We absolutely need to deface that billboard as soon as possible. And that's a crime, by the way. Text us. 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. Keep it short. Put your either first name or initials at the end of that text if it's good. Or read it coming up on the show. Got that. We got the dumbest thing I read all week since today's Friday. We got more we got to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, told you a GoFundMe was set up and they already got more than enough money than they needed by Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans to have a billboard put up in the middle of New Orleans. A giant billboard has a picture of Tom Brady, and it says, We Dat. Because I guess we keep asking the question, who dat? And I'm asking you, if that billboard goes up over the next couple of days, will it remain unscathed in its first 24, 48 hours?
This first text says, hell no. Didn't Atlanta try to do this a few years ago, and they couldn't even get a company to sell them the billboard?
I remember that. Now, look, I mentioned how we had put up, Saints fans had put up a billboards in Atlanta, ripping them. But Yeah, I remember that a few years ago when they made it to the Super Bowl, I think, the Atlanta Falcons, they wanted to put up a billboard in New Orleans, and there wasn't one company. That's right, Texter. There wasn't one billboard company or anybody who does that professionally who would do that. They were turning money down. I remember that.
Brian says, people wouldn't even let the workers finish their job. Gary just says, paintball gun. Billyard just says, Resnor.
Yeah.
Blair says, is the billboard digital? Now, that's a good question, because if it's digital, it's one of those ones that flip from one advertising to another.
From what I can tell, it's not a digital billboard.
All right. KL says, I think they should put the billboard up right across Airline Drive from the Saints facility for motivation.
Ha-ha.
And this text says, have to be careful with this one. Mully thinks Tom Brady will be eating, and I'm going to say some words in between, a spray-painted fat one by the morning. And I'm guessing by fat one, he means a po' boy. So somebody's going to spray.
Well, I asked a question. I asked if you thought the We Dat Tampa Bay Buccaneers billboard with the picture of Tom Brady on it, if that goes up in New Orleans, will it remain unscathed and for how long? And I just, I got the answers right there.
Damn you, Mully. Mully thinks different from everybody else.
Thank you for your texts. We always appreciate them. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week. And it has to do with a man and a bumper sticker that he had on his car. And then what happened? Stay tuned for that. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it's that time of our gig where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. This is very interesting because it's, I guess this defines ironic, irony. Man with not drunk avoiding potholes bumper sticker on his car, arrested for DUI. How come I haven't seen many of those bumper stickers around here? Because New Orleans, we're known for our music, we're known for our food, we're known for partying, and we're also known for potholes.
Right.
The potholes are right up there at the top of the list. How come I haven't seen many of those bumper stickers on cars around New Orleans? Bumper stickers that say, not drunk, avoiding potholes.
Because you walk everywhere. I drive behind cars, so I see the bumper stickers.
You've seen those stickers?
Yeah, when you're driving. So if you're just walking around the city, you're not going to sit there and see the bumper stickers. You have to be in traffic, riding behind
cars.
So
you've seen those bumper stickers on cars around here?
Yeah, I'm not drunk. I'm just avoiding potholes. Yes, I've seen plenty of them.
Oh, okay. Well, this guy wasn't in New Orleans when he got arrested. A Portland, Oregon man.
That's a ways.
He was driving a red Volkswagen Jetta with a bumper sticker that read, not drunk, avoiding potholes. He was arrested the other day for driving under the influence. Deputies say that Jeffrey Cannon was driving at about 85 miles an hour before being pulled over. His car once stopped, rolled back and knocked into the patrol car. So they already pulled him over and he stopped. And so I guess the cop was getting out of the car and
he must have parked on the incline. It's very hilly on the West Coast.
His car, after being stopped, rolled back and knocked into the patrol car. Uh-oh. And when the cop walked up to his car, Jeffrey Cannon informed them about a loaded Glock in the car.
That was nice of him.
Which is what we all have to do. You know, if we're exercising our Second Amendment right. When we get pulled over, we always have to tell a cop if he comes up to the car, hey, look, dude, officer, I've got a loaded Glock in my car. And the cop took that The deputy said they found beer cans and a baggie of cocaine. Oh, that's a problem.
Uh-oh.
I don't think he's going to legally be allowed to carry that gun anymore with him anywhere he goes, because that'll be a felony arrest with the cocaine.
He should have told the cop about that one, too.
Yeah. Hey, besides the loaded Glock, I've got a – it's only a small bag of blow. It's just a little bag.
See, I was going to say he could have been in a Jeep commercial, but the blow just knocked all that out the system.
He took the field sobriety test and was double the legal limit. You know, when we talked about it yesterday on our show, Coleman, when Bruce Springsteen, when the boss was arrested for DUI back in November up in New Jersey, he refused the breathalyzer.
All right.
That's why, and by the way, we were talking about that yesterday early in the show. I don't know why it took 3 months for the news of Bruce Springsteen's DUI arrest to finally make news. I don't know who was sitting on it. I don't know who didn't want it to become news, because he gets arrested for DUI right before the election, the presidential election. And he was so anti-Trump. He was at the top of the list of anti-Donald Trump people. And I don't know why it took about 3 months for the news of his arrest to finally be broken by TMZ, of all people.
Yeah, meanwhile, here's this Cannon guy from Oregon. His news, it didn't take that long at all.
It was a few days ago.
Exactly. Put Mr. Cannon from Oregon, from Portland, Oregon story out there, but let's hold out on this Bruce Springsteen one.
Well, anyways, yeah, this guy Jeffrey Cannon, he's in some trouble.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't recently on the West Coast, they did allow people to have small quantities of cocaine on them if it helps cope with the COVID?
In the state of Oregon, I believe.
All right.
Yeah, and this is Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good point. He might not lose his right to carry a firearm.
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking about when you said he had a small baggie.
We did that story. Yeah, voters voted. I believe it was the state of Oregon where they're allowed to have a small possession. I think cocaine, and I don't know about heroin.
Yeah, you go to Oregon and have a Coke and a smile.
Yeah, it was. I remember doing that. Well, anyways, the man who was arrested out in Portland, because he was speeding, doing 85 miles an hour. That's why he got pulled over. But he had a bumper sticker on the back of his car that said, not drunk, avoiding potholes. He was arrested for DUI, driving under the influence. He was arrested for being drunk and driving. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
It's Friday.
Yeah, I know it's Friday, but I don't know if that's the dumbest thing I read all week, Coleman.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I mean, we did so many Gorilla Glue girl stories.
She's been the top.
The Gorilla Glue girl stories from St. Bernard Parish that went international, they got so big. So I don't think on Friday anymore I'm going to do the dumbest thing I read all week. Because if I have to take all five of these, because we do five of them a week, the dumbest thing I read all morning. If I have to take all five of them, put them together, and then tell you which one of those is the dumbest thing I read all week, maybe we'll do that.
Fair enough.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.